Blog Talk Radio.
Come on. And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed-Well. He will utter dark things and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
The True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off. Which, may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday. I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here. But I have to have
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off. And what you go through brings what's already in you out.
Okay. So what path or religion are you in your pursuit of perfection with God? What are you?
I was raised Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay, and what does that mean?
Seventh-day Adventist is a Christian denomination, and one of the things that we believe is observing the Sabbath. So from a young child, you know, being brought up, I was always brought up with Sabbath observance. So Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown, as mentioned in the Ten Commandments, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. And then also Jesus observed Sabbath as well. So it's one day where I don't check my emails, I don't respond to work calls, I don't read
from
any scripts. Friday night
sundown
to Saturday night sundown. No work.
You don't check your emails.
No. That's like, there's a function.
That's like against the commandment of Hollywood that thou shalt carry thy BlackBerry at all times.
But you know what? Here's the thing. When you set boundaries. Up front.
Up front.
Here's what my commitment is. So we all agree.
Before we even
take the job or go down the road. Here's the commitment. Are we all agreeing this is okay? So then all I have to do is just make sure I keep the commitment. Because the moment I break it is the moment they realize, oh, well, he wasn't that serious. But for me, Sabbath is a time to recharge. It's a time to rest. It's a time to spend time with my family. It's a time to spiritually reconnect. It's incredible.
What is interesting is that you allow your faith, your belief in God, to be at the forefront of who you are in a place where most of us, and you even say in the book, I remember when I said to my father, I was like 13, 14, Dad, I'm going to be an actress. No daughter of mine is going to be going out to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, boy.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
You know the line.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
So you're living in what a lot of certainly traditional Christian people see Hollywood as the land of everything but following the path of your faith. How do you make it out there?
Well, you make it by being true to yourself.
And like literally for your first job, I mean, sorry to interrupt.
Okay.
For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday, sundown to Saturday, sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night, sundown, Saturday night, sundown off. And what happened was it was.
Weren't you scared to say that?
Yeah, I was scared. It didn't. It wasn't intentional.
Like you, it wasn't intentional.
It wasn't intentional. But I'm there in the interview.
Yes.
And God starts to literally. It feels like He's speaking to me. You know, because everything goes great. I feel like, okay, yeah, I got this in the bag. You know how you just go in and you land. Yeah, hey, it's all good. But at the end of the interview, it was like God was saying, "Tell her about the Sabbath." And I'm like, no, I'll tell her after I get the internship.
After I get the
job, I get what I want.
I'll tell them.
Right. Yeah. But he said, no, be obedient. And so I said, man, all right, well, here's the thing. I can't take this internship if I have to work Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown because I observe the Sabbath. And she was quiet. And then after a moment, she said, don't worry. Work around that. And I said, hallelujah. And what it did was it gave me confidence that if I embrace who I am, it will open doors, not shut them. Also,
that's really big. Hold that a moment. Pause. Tweet. Okay, good. Go ahead.
We also thinking about doors, right?
Yeah.
If your faith won't fit in the door that opens, then I argue do not walk through that door. The door that God has opened for you will fit your faith.
That's such a tweet. I have to take a break. I have to take a break and tweet that myself.
All right.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Live Jackpot Radio, worldwide international radio broadcast. Jackpot Radio is now on the air. I be your host by name, your seer, Israel of C Royal. We're doing a series called Coming to Exile, Biblical, Godly Journey of the True Israel, the Israelites. Hallelujah. Wow. All right, we're going to get something going on. We got our elder ready to go. He cranked up ready to go. And we're going to get something going on. So, one thing about it, this is tape number 21. The day's date is 3/17/2024. I'm doing a countdown for something very important. This is a countdown. 3/17/2024. This is a countdown. All right. Live broadcast, take number 21. March 17, 2024. And we live everywhere. No doubt about it. So we wait around over here, we'll come on the broadcast and he'll tell you all about the broadcast. But right now, we're going to get something going on with the lead teacher out of Camp 1, Elder Yahda Israel. So when you meet our elder, with a loud voice, you say, Elder Yahda Israel, Yahda Israel, C. Ray.
God bless you, Israel. C. Roy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Elder. Well, one thing we do know, the Foxtail Health Inlet and the Curtain Hair went up, and this is a live broadcast. Elder, take number 21, March the 3rd, March the 17th, 2024. I just got to talk to one of my old daughters. She told me, she said, you know, I need me a spiritual lifting. I said, yeah, well, you got to. I know you drive the 18-wheeler, and you're all over the country, but in the same time, I keep telling you, that's worldly. You always got to cash in, get some spiritual gasoline. And how you get the spiritual gasoline is by listening to Yahweh's voices of the true Israelite. That's a game changer right there. So, you know, we're going to get something going on, and let's take a look and see which way we want to go and take 21, March 17, 2024, March 17. to take a look at it and holler that microphone on Luke chapter 12, verse 12.
Book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
Excellent. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. Now, Sister BSJ, now we know sooner or later you'll be hitting that, you'll be getting on during the broadcast, but listen, you make sure you pass the message on that all them crosses and all them chairs, get rid of all that stuff. If I got to come down to myself and move that stuff up out of there, them crosses and chairs and all that, and what I heard basically about that idea, yeah, that sounds good too. And that sounds good too. So one thing about it, the box to hell been lit, the curtain hell went up, and no doubt about it, we got to get something going on. So one thing about it, if you're going to get your blessing starts when you get your Yahuwah right. If you want your mind right, you got to get your Yahuwah right. So that's the key to it right there. You can gain all the money, like I tell my daughter, that drives the 18-wheeler from coast to coast. You have plenty of money, but your mind ain't gonna never be right unless you got your Yahuwah right. So understand that. So make sure they move all that stuff about there and do the right thing. So have a Mother Deborah to kind of step on it, step down on them real hard and get all that stuff out of there. And then the next move will unfold itself. Got it? Sister BSJ Israel, got it? Good. All right, good enough. So now, El, we're going to take a look at two things, El, on tape number 21. And now, in fact, let's open up in the book of Jasper, 23. Verse 49 to verse 48. Let's open up right there. Jasper, these books that, no, they're not in canon, WCC. You know why they're not in canon? Because you chose not to put it in there. Your forefathers and mothers say right now, but we're going to read it. What it said that we can read in the book of Jasper 23, verse 49 to verse 48. Hey, yo, we open up right there. Jasper 23. Verse 40 to 48, you on the clock, come on. Take 21.
Book of Jasher, chapter 23, verse number 40 through 48 reads. Book of Jasher 23, verse number 40 reads. Abraham went with Isaac to the place that Yahweh had told him. Verse 41. The third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place at a distance, which Yahweh had told him of. Verse 42. And the pillar of fire appeared to him that reached from the earth to the heavens, and the cloud of honor upon the mountain. And the greatness of Yahweh was seen in the cloud. Verse 43. And Abraham said to Isaac, "My son, do you see in that mountain which we perceive at a distance, and which I see upon it?" Verse 44. And Isaac answered and said unto his father, "I see the pillar of fire in the cloud, and the greatness of Yahuwah is seen upon the cloud." Verse 45. And Abraham knew that his son Isaac was accepted before Yahuwah for a burnt offering. Verse 46. And Abraham said unto Eliezer, and unto Ishmael his son, "Do you also see that which we see upon the mountain which is at a distance?" Verse 47, and they answered and said, "We see nothing more than like the other mountains of the earth." And Abraham knew that they were not accepted before Yahuwah to go with them. And Abraham said to them, "Abide you here with the ass, while I and the lad, my son, will go to yonder mountain and worship there before Yahuwah, and then return to you." Verse 48, and Eliezer and Ishmael remained in that place as Abraham had commanded.
Mm-hmm. So he asked his right-hand man and his firstborn son, he said, hey, do you see what I see? They said, no, we don't see nothing but mountains. All we see is mountains. Okay? He asked his son, Ishmael, hey, Ishmael, what you see? He said, all I see is mountains too. And he knew then and there they would not have the wisdom to be on this journey. So he told him, y'all just stay where you're at and let me. And he asked Isaac. He said, Isaac, what you see, Isaac? Isaac said, I see a big black man with his feet out in the cloud. That's what he said. Look at a Latter-day Saint. See, it don't say that about his big black feet was out in the cloud. Well, yeah, spiritually, it do say that. It do say that. That's what he said he seen. Because all you got to do is precept your Bible. Hey, yo, let's precept the Bible and let's take care of the big dignitaries on that what he sees in the cloud. Because one thing about it, Malachi 3, verse 6, you don't change what he do. So now, in in the book of Exodus 24, I said he seen some big black feet in the clouds. And you know what kind of man was he when we check it out in a minute. So we'll deal with it. In the 24th chapter, what do it say is in the 24th chapter? Let's read verse 4, just get warmed up. We're going to Exodus 24, verse 4. What does it say?
Book of Exodus 24. Verse 4 reads, and Moses wrote all the words of Yahweh, and rose up early in the morning, and built an altar unto the hill, and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel.
According to what? 12 tribes of Israel. Yeah, this right here is concerning 12 tribes of Israel. So also 12 tribes of Israel, and what about the 12 tribes of Israel? What he do in verse 7 with the 12 tribes of Israel there, Elder? We'll see what he did, and we'll take it on to verse number 12. Let's find out exactly what he do from 7 down to verse 12. Live take 21, March the 17th, 2024. What it say we can read in verse 7 down to verse 12 there, Elder? Come on.
Exodus chapter 24. Verse number 7 through 12 reads, Exodus 24, verse number 7. And he took the book of the covenant and read it the ordinance of the people, and they said, all that Yahweh hath said will we do and be obedient. Verse number 8. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which Yahweh hath made with you concerning all these words. Verse number 9. Then went up Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, the 70 of the elders of Israel. Verse 10. They saw the Yahweh of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in its clearness. Verse number 11. And upon the nobles of the family of Israel, laid not his hand. Also they saw Yahweh, and did eat and drink. Verse number 12. Yahweh said unto Moses, come unto me into the mountain and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone and a law, commandments, which I have written, that thou mayest teach them.
Take that something. You might teach them. So understand something. Yahweh has his servants to do the teaching. I will do the teaching. So it's no way you can get around getting past Yahweh's servants, because Yahweh's servants is the one that do the teaching. That's how it goes. But Elder read in verse 10 that they saw the Yahweh of Israel and the paved work of sapphire stone. And sapphire stone is blue black. So the Almighty Yahweh of Israel stuck his big black feet out of the cloud, and they seen his big black feet. Look up the definition of a sapphire stone. It's so black, they call them, you know, you got some brothers, they could call these be so dark, they call them blue. So that's what his feet look like. But it said this guy was the Yahweh of Israel. Now, wait a minute. That's big talk. And they said they seen the Yahweh of Israel. That's big talk again. Wait a minute. They saw the Yahweh of Israel? But when we read, when we preach up the Bible in the fifth chapter, verse 36 and 37, Elder, when you preach up the Bible, then read the last three verses in that same chapter, it tells a story. Only if you precept. If you don't precept the Bible, you'll be all over the place. So once you precept the Bible, it tells you some things that you need to know. So now, he told Moses what to do, and come up, Moses, I'm going to teach you to teach them, right? So now we're going to precept that to the fifth chapter, verse 36, 37, and the last three verses in that chapter, and it's going to tell the story, and all you folks say behind that is hallelujah, what? 118:23. Come on, El.
Fifth chapter, what book?
Oh, St. John, El. St. John, chapter 5, 36, 37, the last three verses there, El.
Book of St. John, chapter 5. Verse 36 verse 37 reads, St. John chapter 5, verse number 36 reads, I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to do, works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. Verse 37, the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. You have never heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Verse number 45. Do not think that I would accuse you to the Father, as one that accused you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Verse 46. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Verse 47. But if you believe not his writing, how shall you believe my word?
Yeah. So he said Moses is writing about the Yahweh of Israel. That's what Moses is writing about. So now, you know, in the court of law, when you got witness about the Yahweh of Israel, you got witness in the court of law, you know, if the witness is for you, that means you walk. But if the witness is against you, they're going to slam you back in the back. They're going to slam you real good, and they might even have lucky to take a little bite out your tail at the same time. You never know. So once you understand these things, then you're clear about it. The one that Moses was dealing with was the Yahweh of Israel. They had big black feet that stuck out the cloud. The same ones that, let me get a precept on that. In the eighth chapter of the book of St. John, it says how small still boys are. Let me write that down. I'm going to come back and read that too. See, a small still voice would talk to his servants. He said, yeah, that sounds pretty good, but put this with that. You know, that's how it works. So now, in St. John chapter 8, Elder, this profound statement was made in the 8th chapter. We might as well take a little peep at it, what was said in the 8th chapter of St. John. Let's pick it up around about 8. Stick around by verse number when they confronted this man. And he said something to this man, and we're going to see what he said in verse 52 there, Elder. We're going to see what's going on. We're going to take it all the way down to verse 58. We're looking at St. John chapter 8, verse 52 to 58. What's going on with St. John chapter 8, verse 52 to 58? Elder, you on the clock, come on.
The book of St. John, chapter 8, verse 52 through 58 reads, Book of St. John, chapter 8, verse number 52 reads, Then said Judah unto him, And we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the seers, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. verse number 53. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the seers are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Verse 54. Now quite a son answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my father that honors me. Whom you say that he is your Yahuwah? Verse 55. You have not known him. I know him. And if I say, and if I should say, I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Verse 66. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Verse 57. Then said Yahweh, you are not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Verse 58. Yahweh the son said unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am.
Hey, look here. He said, before it was Abraham, I am. And a precept it is in the fifth chapter of Michael 1, 2, and 3. So this man that is called the Yahuwah of Israel, which now has been identified as the son of the father, he's the Yahuwah of Israel, the big black feet that stuck out the cloud that met Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. So see, that's only when you precept your Bible. See, when you don't precept your Bible and you're in a wrong ministry, you're always going to be confounded and you're always going to be confused because you're not going to have the leadership quality to understand something. Take a deep breath and deliver the knockout blow. See, everything is said in the Bible, but once he put that right spirit on you, when a statement is made, you go read in the Bible, and you're going to be dumbfounded. You're going to be confused. He just delivered. You know? I know the gang sailors on their way. They're posting. That's why when we hit on the world scene, we will be prepared. We're prepared. And everybody going to be tied to hip and be prepared to just let them take a deep breath, then just put some book on them. That's it. Take a deep breath. Not confounded. Not confused. Understanding the will of Yahuwah, and that's what it's all about. So this is a testing. Understand one thing. When we come on this broadcast 6 nights a week, do you understand what's written in Sirach chapter 51, 21-23? And Sirach 51, 21-23, let's talk to the national audience about exactly what's written and where you at now when we come on the broadcast. Sirach 51, 21-23, what's the hell?
The book of Sirach, chapter 51, verse number 21 through 23 reads, the book of Sirach, chapter 51, verse 21 reads, my mind was troubled, seeking hurt, therefore have I gotten a good possession. Verse 22, Yahweh has given me a tongue, my reward, and I will praise him therewith. Verse 23, draw near unto me, you unlearned, and dwell in the temple of learning.
Hey, that's you see what I'm getting the sixth anointing count? A tongue of the learning. See, we got a tongue of the learning. I mean, you know, see what it is. You know, that's why they have a problem with a lot of things. But listen. Yahuwah have gave the six anointed camps the tongue of the learning. And my job is to identify the ones in the six anointed camps that have that built-in tongue of the learning. Because there's a big job ahead of us now. The seer cannot be walking through that great big old place and all of a sudden knowing that you have stepping. That's why, Sister BSJ, that means you might have to have old Lucky kind of, you know, treat me right a little bit, because I might have been lucky down there and peeked down there and see if everybody doing the right thing in that great big old building. So it's going to happen. So understand one thing. We got a big job ahead of us, and my job is to see who prepared to deliver the knockout blow before the doors open on the world scene. I got to find out who's going to stand up when it's hot and heavy. Everybody can stand up when you got all your brothers with you and your sisters with you and your kinfolk with you. But can you stand up when just you and that Bible and that reader and you got a whole gaggle of big mouths like the big old big dignitaries of Roman Catholic Church and Latter-day Saints and the WCC World Council Church. Can you spell out now? That's what I want to know, because they're going to come at you. What you going to do? You want to be able to stand up. See, I ain't going to be running around from room to room, see what you're doing. So I got to try you now. See what you're made of. See if you're able to stand up, because the heat have not begun. You in the classroom of learning right now, and I got to find you out and see can you stand up when it's hot and heavy. Not when everything in your favor. Nope. But you got to know how to smoke some Bible. So if you can't smoke no Bible, then you got to stand back on the sideline and just watch how to smoke some Bible. We're going to show you how to do it. It's up to you. So we found out this Yahweh of Israel was seen by Moses. I mean, seen by Abraham, this Yahweh of Israel. Now, we're going to precept this Yahweh of Israel and see what the eyewitness said, who this guy is. They had them big black feet. And you tell me, when you go to your worship place, do you see the Yahweh of Israel with big black feet? Or do you see somebody pale red with long goat or horse hair on their head, and you all bowing down to them, come out and say, thank you, Jesus, Lord God, and Jehovah? Huh? We gonna check you out and see if you're going to deal with the Bible or you're going to deal with emotions. So we're going to find out who is this Yahweh of Israel that they seen with the eyewitness. In the court of law, the eyewitness come up. If he come for you, you walk. If he come against you, you take him back into the slammer. Right? Right. Let's go to St. John chapter 1, verse 46 and 47. Let's get warmed up right there. You know, 46 and 47. St. John 1, 46 and 47. What did it say to him?
The book of St. John, chapter 1, verse 46 and verse 47 reads. Book of St. John, chapter 1, number 46 reads. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Verse 47. Yahweh the Son saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile.
You hear that? So Yahweh heard them coming, and he heard them say of him. He was telling Philip and Nathanael. Nathanael telling Philip, Philip telling Nathanael, there he is right there. Behold, look, an Israelite indeed with no guile. So let's find out who is this Israelite indeed with no guile. We're going to find out who is this guy is in verse number 49. Who is the other?
St. John chapter 1, verse
46
and 49 reads, and then Daniel answered and said unto him, teacher, you are the son of Yahweh. You are the king of Israel.
My. You see that? So the one that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who named kings of Israel, and Isaac, when his father asked him, he said, what you see on that cloud? He said, I see a man with some big black feet hanging up out of the cloud. And then a big dignitary said, that ain't in there. I see that. It is in there. When you precept your Bible. Remember, this is a spiritual Bible. You're not going to get this going to no institution but Yahweh's voices over to his life. So that's why you always going to be dumbfounded, and you're always going to have egg on your face, confused in every direction. If we don't teach you, you will not learn this thing. Now look at WCC. Yeah. Is that a precept on that one? Well, yeah. Help me out here before we go. Remember, help me, Michael, 5, 1, 2, and 3. But in the book of Acts chapter 10, Elder, big dignitaries. They look for, I think they look more for, but I'm saying something. The big dignitaries going to break up out of there, and that's why I say it's no accident that we'll be heading to, and we have all the space, elbow room you need, no question about it. Let me tell you something. The big dignitaries going to come out of there, and they're going to be looking for Yahweh, boss over to his wife. So the seal's job is give them a pad to stretch out all over the place. So Mother Deborah, make sure you tell them one thing again. Majority of stuff lead in there, but them chairs and them crosses, get them out as far as the east meets the west. Get rid of all that stuff in there. And if there's whatever up under them tables, if it's not no some good, you know, what we can work with, that going too. Because see, Yahweh will do what he got to do. All we got to understand one thing. Yahweh's hand on this ministry, and it's going to be done in grand style. So you make sure when you get down there and go eyeball to eyeball, you let them know what it is. How much time they got? Yeah, all right. But take all this right here and don't take nothing. Don't pull nothing off the wall. Don't pull nothing off the wall. No taking nothing off the wall now. Just take away them benches and them crosses. Get them out of there. Got it? Good. Now, what's going to help?
Book of Acts chapter 10.
Oh, okay. All right, well, the chief speaker of the nation of Israel in Acts chapter 10, you know, he made a profound statement. This I forgot which one of the big dignitary asked the question, but the chief speaker of the nation of Israel said, and he made a statement there, but I'm struggling right now. He made a statement in the 11th chapter. Didn't he make a statement? He said something, you know, that we can read. Struggling right now on a statement that he said. He made a statement in, what did he say? He said something. That's when he was confronted, and he made a profound statement. Okay, we'll get right on to it. In the 11th chapter, because he was jacked up by the unbelievers since he was the head of the 12, because they were waiting on him, and they had stones in their hand, you know? So sometimes you might have those that have stones in their hand that might be close to you, but they have stones in their hand. And the 11th chapter, let's read a little bit, and let's see how people that'll bump their gums real good. Then Peter responded to them in the 11th chapter. And this is a conversation going on in the 11th chapter, 1 down to verse 4 of Acts. Let's see some of this conversation going on, y'all. 11, 1 down to verse 4. What happened? Acts 11, 1, 2, 3, 4. Come on.
The book of Acts chapter 11, verse number 1 through 4 reads, book of Acts chapter 11, verse number 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Yahweh Judah heard that scattered Israelites, Gentiles, had also received the word of Yahweh. Verse number 2. When Peter was come up to Yahweh Judah, that they were of the circumcision contended with him. Verse 3. Saying, you went of in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them. Verse number 4. But Peter urged the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying.
So they had the stones in their hand. You know, you got members in sometimes in the Sixth Anointed Camp. They be trying to maybe stone those seed every now and then. You never know. I mean, because a lot of times you don't understand because you understand. You know, this thing is big. You know, you got to wait until you get the conclusion of the matter before you always want to stone somebody. See, Israel, the Israelites, they had it bad by jumping to conclusion and pulling out them stones to go side of leadership head. That's what they try to do. See? So Peter let him bump the gums real good, and then Peter says, let's see what he says, and he started talking with him, and Peter let him know what happened in verse number 9. Let's read down to 9, and we have some great understanding in verse 12, 12 down to 12, but we forget some understanding. Peter, they're ready to stone Peter. It says, Peter, you went out to the northern kingdoms, and not only that, you had with them, Peter. What's wrong with you, Peter? So Peter let him bump the gums, and Peter delivered a knockout blow in verse 9. So he explained to them what's happening, because he had a more asset to the Almighty One than they did, and he became this in verse 9. What did he say in verse 9? Yeah.
The book of Acts chapter 11, verse number 9 to 12 reads, Acts chapter 11. Verse number 9 read, but the voice answered me again from heaven, will Yahweh have cleansed that cause that thou cometh? Verse 10, this was done 3 times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. Verse number 11, and behold, immediately there were 3 men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. Verse 12, the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting, all of these 6 brethren accompanied me. We entered into the man's house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 13 and 14, Ellen.
Verse number 13. He showed us how he had seen an angel in his house. We stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Verse 14. We shall tell thee words, whereby you and all your family shall be saved.
Hey! That's something. You hear the man? You hear the man say? He said, look here. And you can believe this if you want to believe this or not. If you going to be saved, if you want to be saved, on the left side of the book, if you don't get it this way, then you ain't going to get it. How do we know that? 11, we got to do something for you right here for this to happen for you. Cause we got to unlock all that. Give me 1434, second book of the book called Ezra. See, understand one thing. We teach spirit led from Yahweh. We don't know where we're going, how we're going, and those that make the tapes. Listen to the tape and whatever sounds where it's got a lot of good stuff to you, and then put that, because we don't know what we're going to say, how we're going to say it. So now, so you got to understand this thing. Got a memo coming in while I was speaking, that kind of threw me off a little bit. So listen, when you're making the tapes, Sister J, when you're making the tapes, understand one thing. We don't know where we're going. We're not pompous, and we're not none of that. I don't know what we're going to put on the table. The Spirit of Yahweh, that's why he put Luke 12:12 on the table. We don't know where we're going. But I tell you one thing, if you stand back off on it, it'll be ready to go. That's all I can tell you. Then whatever you hear that sounds good, then put a label on that. And one thing about it, it's going to go, because you know why? It's all about Yahweh's business. So now, what are we getting ready to read, El?
The book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 14, verse number 34 reads, book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 14, verse 34, therefore if so be, that you will subdue your own understanding, reform your mind, you shall be kept alive, and after death, you shall obtain mercy.
So here's the point. You got to do your own understanding. All the stuff you have learned, that Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and all that stuff, you got to put all that down. Because all that can be squashed by opening this Bible up. That's the reason why you always confounded, and that's the reason you're always confused. And that's why you don't believe what you believe. We're going to show you a lot of things to learn. But as long as you got Christianity in your head, and as long as you got that white man of the Lord God, Jesus, and Jehovah in your head, and thinking some Mary going to be crying somewhere in a couple more months down there in Mexico, you always going to be confounded. You always going to be confused. And you always going to be upset. See, remember one thing. If you got the spirit of Yahuwah on you, you won't be upset so much when you understand that Mary is not a descendant of Esau as the white man, a white woman. She is from the tribe of Judah. She married a Judah man, and they dark-skinned and woolly hair. So the statue you're going to look at is supposed to be a dark-skinned and woolly hair statue. Eh? Because it makes it plain in Jeremiah 14, verse 2, what the children of Judah, what Mary married from the tribe of Judah. Her husband, Joseph, was from the tribe of Judah. They tell you what they look like right there in 14, verse 2. Jeremiah, I know Christian ain't going to show you this, but we'll show it to you what it says in Jeremiah 14, 2 there, Elder.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 14. Verse number 2 reads, Book of Jeremiah chapter 14, verse number 2. Yagdah Judah mourneth, and the gates there are languished. They are black unto the ground.
They are black to the ground. Northern kingdom, listen to me carefully. They're spending all that money going to Mexico, looking at that pale statue. That we don't get there in time to see the statue cry. That's paganism from the pits of hell of Satan. What do you do with that money? Come dropping in one of them six anointed camps of boys over to Israel and the free offering box. That was to do for this land school banquet hall and radio station. We can help you help them. That's what you'd be doing. I want to tell you what time it is. See, my job is to tell you what you got to do. You're going to spend all this money to go to Mexico. And look at Mary, a pale-skinned woman, or you're going to the Roman Catholic Church, kissing the feet of a pale-skinned woman and a pale-skinned baby. Listen, that's not good. That's going to get you thrown in the bottom of the lake of fire. This man right here is a black man. He got woolly hair, and Micah chapter 5 will tell you how long he's been around. And don't affiliate him with Joseph. No more than he came through Mary, because he didn't tell the seer exactly when he come, before he come to the face of the earth, he told the seer in the fifth chapter, 1, 2, and 3 of Michael. Do you believe what the seer said? You got a problem with the seers too, huh? Okay, but we're going to read it anyway. 5, 1, 2, 3. What's the hell?
The book of Micah, chapter 5, verse number 1, 2, and verse number 3 reads. Book of Micah, chapter 5, verse number 1, read. Micah, chapter 5, verse 1. Now gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. Have laid siege against thefts. It shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Verse number 2. Thou Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of thy Judah, yet out of you shall he come forth unto me, and shall be ruler in Israel, going forth, have been from of old, from everlasting. Verse number 3. Therefore will he give them up to the time that she, which her valor had brought forth, and the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the family of Israel.
Yeah. And do you know what he says in 25 verse 40 behind that? Do you know what he says in Matthew 25? He says he'll return back to his remnants of his brethren. It's already prophesied. Do you know he got something written in 25 verse 40 about his brethren? Do you know? He got something written? Let's see what he got written in 25 verse 40. Hey, Elder, what he got written in Matthew 25 verse 40?
The book of Matthew 25, verse number 40 reads. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Truly I say unto you, as much as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me.
You see that? So you keep on talking that talk. So you keep on talking that talk. Every time, you know, the old seer man come up and you say, it ain't no seer. It's more than one and all that kind of. Keep talking that talk. Keep on running your blood pressure up. You understand something? And keep on thinking that statue out there in Mexico is going to give you some pain relief in the brain. It's not going to work. You have to come clean. And sooner or later, we're going to see you come clean. Because you kicking against and even making it plain what not to do. Let's go to Acts. So you kicking against the old seer big time. But once you're in the box, you're going to lose. You know why? Because Phil put some book on you. I mean, I don't get upset. Me and Moses got upset, and Moses ended up couldn't get to the kingdom. You know, couldn't see the promised land. He said, Moses, get up here and take a peep at it. But you ain't getting over there because I told you to take care of me, and you got to let the peepers wear you down. So y'all ain't going to wear me down. And but we're going to show it the Bible stands up for you to believe it. It's up to you. You know? We're letting you know. You're spending all that money going to Mexico and watching this old pagan crying statue. That's paganism. That's not good. You don't believe dealing with no statues. This man and this woman that you're bowing down to is some black folks with woolly hair. It's up to you to read the Bible. I know you're preaching and chucking a lot of your money and all that, but that's why you need to, you know, seeking you, put out your pistol and pistol the old preachers that I'm taught you wrong. I mean, it's up to you. See, remember, we here to show you what the Bible's saying. If we don't tell you what the Bible's saying, then we in trouble. All we do after we read a verse, we comment on a verse. It's up to you, spirit led. What is going on, Elder?
You didn't call anything, see?
Oh, hallelujah. Well, okay. Well, give me, let's find out who this guy been going for from everlasting in Matthew chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 2, Elder, we're going to talk about this guy because the big kings, the big sons of Esau, Herod, he kind of got upset because he knew the Romans had made him king. So he tried to wig his way in, and he had a whole lot of Israel, the Israelite tribe of Judah, on their payroll. So he kind of got very upset. So he told them something. Then we're going to see what did he say. What did Herod, the Edomite, sons of Esau, what did he say? He said, let's look at 2 verse 1. Let's see if we're getting warmed up. Because he was in bad shape behind this, Elder. Because he started hearing some things. You know, the Romans have made him king. And 2 verse 1 of Matthew, let's talk about it for a minute, Elder. Let's see what's going on. And we'll read down and hear old lion Herod. We'll hear his old lion self down in 2. 1 down to verse 6. Matthew chapter 2, 1 down to verse 6. What is the hell?
Book of Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1 through 6 reads, Book of Matthew 2, verse number 1. And when Yahweh the Son was born in Bethlehem of Yahweh Judah, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Yahweh Judah, verse number 2, saying, Where is he that is born king of Israel, of Yahweh Judah? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. Verse number 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Yahweh Judah with him. Verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Yahweh the son should be born. Verse 5. They said unto him, In Bethlehem of Yahweh Judah, for thus it is written by the seer. Verse number 6. And thou Bethlehem in the land of Yahweh Judah, and art the least among the princes of Yahweh Judah, for out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.
the Israelites. So you see, it's already written exactly when this man, it was prophesied he's coming, but he was coming to rule his people's Israel, the Israelites. And he told you if you keep on beating them side to back, you know, one day Big Brother going to beat you on your back. It's written he's going to beat you on your back, but it's not in the lesson that we're going to talk about him beating you on your back. But keep on kicking against this big black man with them big black feet. See, you're going to get your back beat. That's all. And see, and the sign you're getting your back beat, you're going to be confused, always dumbfounded. You always going to have statements making, but you got no scriptures to back it up. That's a sign of being dumbfounded. Because if you got scriptures to back what you're saying, then a person can work with you. So understand something. You got to have scriptures to back up your statement that you make out of the mouth. Huh? I know. And I got the message back where you want to take me aside and teach me more perfectly. How you going to teach me more perfectly? You into Christianity. How you going to teach me more perfectly? It don't work like that. See, that's a puffed up spirit. That's not good. So what I'm trying to tell you how to help yourself. Because you keep on kicking. Nah, that's right. That's what I mean. Look, you know what Yahweh said? He said to a big dignitary, you know, and the book on 9th chapter, he came, you know, you ain't stop that. Because all you do is just keep on till you keep your blood pressure up high. And you're not going to never be right. Because look what he says in the 9th chapter, behind that. He said, give me 9:1. Just to get warmed up. Acts 9:1. Yeah.
Book of Acts. Chapter 9, verse number 1 reads, Book of Acts, chapter 9, verse number 1 reads, And so yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of Yahshua went out to the high priest.
So you know, that's good. So you see it is? So you see what he was doing? See, at once upon time, he was breathing out slaughter and then he went to the high priest. You know, he went to the high priest behind that. But then Yahweh intervened in verse 3. Let's see what happened in verse 3. Huh?
The book of Acts, chapter 9, verse number 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven.
Mm-hmm. So a light came from heaven on him. And what happened in verse 4?
Verse number 4. Acts chapter 9, verse 4. You fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, why persecuted you me?
And listen. When you persecute the one he chose to take care of his business, it's just like you're doing him. You know, he was sitting way up in the third heaven with his father. So how are you persecuting him? By going against his servants. When you go against the servants, it's just like you persecuting him. That's the point we're trying to tell you. So when you're in the conversation and all of a sudden the seer man come up and you start getting rambling or running all through the house, you know, listen, understand one thing. Listen, you're not kicking against the seer. You're kicking against the man that made the seer. Good. And he asked you, why are you doing this, Paul? Why are you kicking against me? Well, man, I ain't kicking against you. Yes, you are. When you kick against the servants of Yahweh, why are you kicking against him? Now, watch this. Watch the next two verses. Listen good now. What do they say in the next two verses?
The book of Acts chapter 9, verse number 5. He said, who are you, Yahweh? Yahweh said, Yahweh the son whom thou persecuted, it is hard for thee to kick against the prince. Verse number 6, and he turned and astonished said, Yahweh, what will thou have me to do? Yahweh said unto him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do.
Well, my man, but Paul was riding. What happened? Yahweh hid a ring in his mouth. Yahweh hit him right in his mouth, knocked him down off that donkey. Boom! Then all of a sudden, it dawned on him that he was kicking against the followers of Yahweh, but he said, if I find any of them talking that Yahweh stuff, I'm going to bring them chained down. He went and got letters to bring everybody talking some Yahweh. And Yahweh appeared up on him and said, look at him. He said, man, why you kicking against my word, bro? Why you whooping him? Why you beating the backs like that? Now, after he was hit in the mouth, after he was blind. So why you wait till you get hit in the mouth or blind before you understand that what you hear now, ain't nothing going to stop this right here. This is going to go. It's ordained to go. Huh? So don't kick against this. Do what Paul did after he got hit in the mouth. He asked the question, Yahweh, what do you want me to do? He said, go on down there. It's going to be my man now. I'll see him down there. He's going to tell you what you got to do. You see what's going on here? That's how it works. So now Paul had to go get refreshed by the man of Yahweh. See, you understand something? When you kick against the old seer, you really kick it against Yahweh, and he don't like it. And he going to deliver you up. And how you know? Your spirit ain't going to be right. You're going to always be dumbfounded, and you're always going to be frustrated because you're not going to accept no Bible. You're going to accept only what you believe. Huh? And they're going to tell up every time because your spirit got to be right. It's like somebody going to a restaurant, which I bid you not to go because they're not going to see the meat. And here come a waitress over there to ask you what you want. Would you stop talking and tell me what you want? You say, what's wrong with you? Well, I'm here to serve you. No, you can't serve me. Your spirit ain't right. Go on back and send me somebody going to serve me right. See what I'm saying? See, Yahweh, remember, David said one thing. He said, I got a lot of peace of wives. I got a lot of children. But Yahweh, tell me, I want you to do one thing for me. He said, I know I got a great big old house. I got everything. I can take a calf out of a lion's mouth. I can bust a lion in the mouth. But would you do me one favor, Yahweh? Let's see what he said in the 51st chapter. Let's see what old David said in the 51st chapter. Okay? He made a final statement in 51, Psalm 51. See, you got to understand something. Whatever you say in 9 and 10 was not temporarily. You're going to be all in on land school, banquet hall, and radio station. I mean, blocks of movement. We'll be all in on this. You know, and let me show you what's going on here in the 51st chapter. David said, I got a lot of old peaceful wives. Got a lot of children too. But Yahweh, but this is what I want you to do for me, Yahweh. See, that's why Yahweh liked this old guy. He talks the right talk. Yeah? Because, you know, David was accused of a lot of things too. Old Seer was accused of a lot of things. Seer was accused of stealing cars and what else? Stealing, buying houses. Even the accused of a lot of things. I mean, he's got me doing more things than talking some dust saying, Yahweh. What is he accused of? Stealing cars. He accused of writing bad checks. Accused of buying Air Jordan gym shoes. I mean, he go on and on and on. He even accused of saying, well, if you can't support that baby, he'll do it. You accused of everything. No, I don't support some. I got plenty of kids of my own. I got plenty of grandbabies. Why would I support your baby? That don't make no sense. Well, the seer said he'll support my child, your child. I got my own child to support. What are you doing? Signing me up to support your child for? I'm not going to support your child. I got my own child to support. You see, if I defend his word, you know, yeah, I might lose some sleep. But I ain't going to lose no sleep because Noah, because all this is ordained to happen. Remember, when you read 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 through 19, you got to understand these things. See, I understand it. Hey, what does it say in 1 Peter 4, 17 through 19?
Because 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 17 through 19 reads, the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4. Verse number 17, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. 1 Peter 4, verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the family of Yahweh. If it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that be of them that obey not the covenant of Yahweh? For some may be, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Verse 19. Well, for let them that suffer according to the will of Yahweh commit the keeping of their soul life to him in well doing, as unto a faithful creator.
See, if you won't suffer, make sure you suffer in well doing. You know, suffer in well doing. Don't be a busybody. Don't be a backbiter, no murmuring complainer. See, we know Yahweh is going to stop in the top. He always hits the top in the mouth. So how can I keep this unless I live this? I got these four persons get hit in the mouth. And I got it. I'm saying, I got to tell somebody that you can make it, and I ain't never been get, and I'm Teflon and I ain't got hit in the mouth. Everybody that had Yahweh's words, you can read, got hit in the mouth. Okay? You're going to get hit in the mouth. Now, if you endure getting hit in the mouth, then you're all right. Okay? That's what I'm trying to tell you. So I accept that. So all of, you know, got to see it doing everything. Got him in all, got him all over the country doing this, even buying golden rings, $5,000 ring. Now what I want to buy a $5,000 wedding ring for? For what? For what? See? $5,000 wedding ring. See here. You bought a you bought a woman a $5,000 wedding ring, $5,000 wedding ring. For what? Women of that part. See, identity theft. That's worse than the ones over there in Israel that being you. See, everybody over there in the land of Israel being you. The ones over there in Damascus, they being you because that land over there in all in Damascus all the way over to Lebanon belongs to the children of Israel. We don't know that. See, we got a lot of work to do to wake you up. We're not anti-anybody. We pro 12 tribes of Israel only. We're not affiliated with no groups because all the groups got to come up under Yahweh's voices of the true Israelite if you want to be saved. That's simple as that. Didn't we read that? Didn't we read that? Let's read it again then. I read it. Come on back. I gotta read them one more time. Tonight, you want to be saved, right? You believe what Peter said? What did Peter say? 11:14. Now you can tell you where you want to take it. It's really 11:14. We're going to get a precept on it.
The book of Acts, chapter 11, verse number 14 reads, Acts chapter 11, verse 14, which is here are these words, whereby you and all your family shall be saved.
If we don't give you words, you not in your family, you not gonna be saved. That's what Peter said. I'm only the messenger reading what Peter said. Now we're gonna get a precept on that. Now here, I'm struggling right now here. I see you have Mother Day up Israel. Sincere, I wanna holler in that microphone too. Hallelujah. I want to get a precept on that, Elder. We'll come back to the 10th chapter. And I want to get a precept on that. How about Peter wrong about verse number 29 down in verse 33? I want to get a precept on this. Let me make sure precept. Okay, when they said they made a profound statement with him in the book of Acts chapter 10, they said something to him. But I'm struggling right now, you know. I want to kind of get right to it. So I'm going to take a shot at it, you know. In the 10th chapter, I want to hear them say, we all here. That's what I want to hear them say. They're going to say, we all here. And, but I'm struggling right here. So can you get those sitting out there? Elder, I want to hear them say that that we all here. We all here for what reason? See, they're here for a reason, Elder. Can you, God, I give you enough to work with, Elder. Can you get those say out there, Elder? Hallelujah, brother.
I'm trying to lay my eyes on
that, you'll see. Okay. Well, I tell you what, if I don't get it the way I want it in 10:28 down to I'm looking for a final statement. And yeah. Thank you there, Mother Day of Israel. All right, Mother Day of Israel. Think of the verse 28, but 33 is the knockout blow. So listen to this. So listen, I'm trying to tell you. See, listen, we understand we got a calling on us, and the seer got to bring out those that can stand up, because the game says on their way. If you're going to be saved, you heard what Peter said, we got to give you words. And now we have to give you a precept on that. Listen to this in 10, verse number 28, and we'll take it on to verse 33. Now listen good. Now we only going to comment on what we hear. Now, if we don't hear that, then you can say, aha, I got you now. But suppose you hear it. We're going to 10, verse 20 down to verse 33 of Acts chapter 10. What does it say, Elder?
The book of Acts chapter 10, verse number 28 to verse 33 reads, Acts chapter 10, verse 28. He said unto them, know how that is an unlawful thing for a man that is of Yahweh Judah to keep company or until one of another nation. But Yahweh showed me that should not call any man coming or unclean. Verse 29, if what came out unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for, ask therefore for what intent you have sent for me. Verse number 30, Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothes. Verse 31, it said, Cornelius, your prayer is heard, and your alms are had in remembrance in the sight of Yahweh. Verse 32, send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside. For when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Verse 33, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and you as well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before Yahweh, to hear all things that are commanded you of Yahweh.
Ain't that tough. Ain't that tough. You hear what he said? He said, we hear you praying. See, that's one of the greatest mysteries in understanding. A whole lot of people doing a lot of praying. But listen, you don't get your answer that way. See, this is how you get your answer. Oh, I'm always praying to my Yahweh, whatever you take your name, Lord God, Jesus, Allah, and Buddha. No, no, listen. It don't work like that. He said, Cornelius, we need you praying. Now, Cornelius, this is what you got to do. You go find the chief speaker of the nation of Israel. He going to tell you what you got to do. So you see how this thing works? So all this trying to get past the servants of Yahweh, you only fooling yourself. That's paganism. You got to understand the order. He's right here. Cornelius, he paid it. He gave on. That means he gave a lot of money. He was a big contributor to the Southern Kingdom. He is from the Northern Kingdom. Anyway, okay, fine, good. He did that. But then all of a sudden, the big angel showed up on him. He said, Cornelius, we've been hearing you praying for quite a long time. Now I'll tell you what you got to do. And you're going to tell me, no, I ain't going to tell you that. It don't work like that. I'm going to tell you what you got to do. Hey, you read again, verse 13, what you got to do. This is what you got to do. 32 again. Verse 32 and 33.
The book of Acts chapter 10, verse 32 reads, send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside. When he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Verse 33. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before Yahweh, to hear all things that are commanded you of Yahweh.
That's nice stuff. See, that's the way it goes. I mean, I'm telling you, that's how it goes. I mean, you can take it where you want to take it. Well, I'm gonna get past the dignitaries or the Sixth Anointed camp. When you wasting your time? It don't work like that. You agree how it works? They'll give you information to go find those of leadership, and they'll tell you what you got to do. Huh? They'll examine your spirit, and if they get in this trouble, it's a little higher rank than that, and higher rank than that, and then a higher rank, and if you get too high, then all of a sudden, the hell of the spirit step in. But if you got ranks to go through, you just say, oh, well, I'm praying to my Almighty One, so what? They don't get past your ankle until you follow the order. There's right there. This man was a great tithe payer, free will offer, donation. He said, your arms came up to, we got you. We see you all right. We spent a couple of hours. You're all right. Now, let me bring Mother D up this way. I want to give another precept on that. Come get your go. So you can bump your guard with the best of them. That's why y'all going to be confounded and confused. Because you're going to bypass what the Bible says. So let's bring Mother D up Israel. And you see, I want to holler that microphone too on March 17, 2024. Hey, Mother D up Israel. Yahweh bless you, Israel.
Yahweh bless you,
Israel.
Hallelujah,
why that mother Israel? Well, mother Israel, you know, the seer always ready to do his part, but I wanna go back and get a precept on something, mother. Mm-hmm. In Acts chapter 10. Because this man from the northern kingdom called Cornelius, you know, he was always getting out a couple of dollars and everything. He was the bold man. I mean, he was about this thing. But let me show you. So you can be about this thing all you want to be, but you still ain't going to break protocol or order. Now, Mother, in the 10th chapter, verse 1 of the book of Acts, I'm getting that microphone and kind of wrap it up a little bit so we can let the mass audience understand one thing. You think that you can do this thing on your own and pay the leadership of the Sixth Anointed Camp, no, never mind. Listen at this Bible when Mother delivered the knockout blow. Pick up at 10, verse 1. We're going to read a little bit, and let's see what we come up with. Acts 10, pick up verse 1. Let's talk about it, Mother, with a loud voice. Come on.
Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Verse 6, a devout man and one that feared Yahweh with all his family, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to Yahweh always. Verse 3, saw in vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of Yahweh coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. Verse 4, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Yahweh? And he said unto him, your prayers and thine arms are come up for a memorial before Yahweh. Verse 5, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, her name is Peter. Verse 6, he lies with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell you what thou ought to do.
Verse 7.
And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continuously.
Good. Now let me comment on that. Now, the man was a great tithe payer. He paid his tithes, spiritual offering, 10%. He done good for the Southern King. He always brought his money in. He prayed good. He was devoted. He was praying good, doing all the same grand stuff. Angel showed up on him. And what the angel tell him in verse 7, he departed. But before he departed, what he said again in mother in verse 6, a little more audio, what did the angel tell him? Although he was a great tithe payer, free will office, donation man, praying to Yahweh always the cornet. But what did the angel tell him to do in verse 6?
Verse 6. He lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell you what you ought to do.
Yeah, mother. That's how it works. Now, it was the angel said. The angel said, this is how it works. But look what he got written when you precept the Bible in Matthew 12, 31, 32, 36, 37. See, this is serious business. See, we is trying to tell you, listen, all that you have learned through Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and whatever them things is, you've been taught wrong. If you're ready to be taught right, you're ready to bring your grandmama, your aunties down to the great big temple number 2 to come, it won't be wrong. You want the babies that's coming up out of the diapers, we're going to get them straight. Listen, the greatest legacy you can do is get in where you fit in and do your part in this ministry to come, big time. Listen, your parents need to hear the truth. The truth, what they've been taught, you've been taught wrong. You go to these Christian churches, everybody down there caring for Jesus and just hollering all over the place, look like midgets. Place hold 5,000 people over there at this bubble place on Sunday. 5,000 people, everybody down crying like midgets. Listen, they probably ain't getting past their answer. They ankle. You know why? Because it's out of order. It's out of order. Sunday, wrong day. Huh? He's Sunday, wrong day. You know what they're doing on Sunday? That's the wrong day. I mean, even the big dignitary tell you Sunday, wrong day. Huh?
And what you go through brings what's already in you out.
Okay. So what path or your first job working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
Now, the big dignitary, that's big Oprah, big billionaire. She said, listen, all my life, I thought I was in the Baptist church. I thought I was doing right. I donated things. I even went over to Africa, built up churches over in Africa to keep Sunday, eat a little hog on the side. I thought I was doing right. But no, you're doing wrong, Oprah. Now, did you make adjustments? She said, thank you for correcting me. I thought Sunday was the day. No, Sunday's the wrong day. Northern Kingdom, Sunday's the wrong day. That day going to get you thrown in the bottom of the lake of fire. Friday night, Saturday night. Even when we get down to temple number 2, it's going to be Friday night, Saturday night. Huh? You know, I heard you want to do something on Sunday. I heard you want... you don't diss it on Sunday. Well, I don't know. But you know what's wrong? Something wrong day. Lord God, Jesus, and Jehovah, and Allah, I asked them the wrong names. See? You just doing it for nothing. Everybody tied your hips is doing it for nothing. You got to keep Friday night, Saturday night. I'll put the Bible down. Friday night, Saturday night. I'll put the Bible down. Because the man going to tell you, he's going to make a plan. What you going to read, mother? Now, remember, the angel one told him what to do. Now, listen to what he said when the angels tell you what to do. And if you clear your throat and say, listen what he said in Matthew 12:31, 32, 36, 37, Mother D up Israel, deliver.
Matthew chapter 12, verses 31, 32, 36, 37. 31 reads, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the righteous spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. Verse 32. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the righteous spirit, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. 37. For by your words thou shalt be justified, and by your words thou shalt be condemned.
Good. Elder, what do we say, Elder, in Titus 1, verse 2, back there in Hebrews 6:18? Elder. What do we say behind that counter? What do we say now? Paul, he had Titus and Timothy. He was the one giving them power to take over and take care of some business. He got them prepared. What did he tell Titus in 1 verse 2 backed up going to the great big Southern Kingdom Temple in 6:18 of Hebrews? What did Paul say? Remember, in Galatians chapter 1, 15, 16, he was raised from the womb to deliver this knockout blow. So when you read Galatians chapter 1, 15, 16, which we're not going to read, listen what he told Timothy and Titus in 1 verse 2. Then he left and went to the great big temple of the Southern Kingdom in 6:18. Listen what was said by Elder. Come on.
The book of Titus, chapter 1, verse number 2 reads, book of Titus 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which Yahweh, the Canaanite life promise, before the world began. Book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse number 18 reads, book of Hebrews 6, verse number 18, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for Yahweh the Light, strong consolation, the prayer for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us.
Yeah. So you ain't lying. If you don't get eternal life, then you have to put all that stuff that you have learned down. All the stuff you got in your briefcase, all the degrees you got, and all them Sunday worshiping service and stuff you're doing, you want to put it down because you're living yourself up and everybody come in contact with you. Friday night, Saturday night, that's when you worship the Bible man. Friday night, Saturday night. If you're doing it on the wrong day, you can get the wrong day reward. Because you know the precept about being wrong? You know what he got written? Give me a precept on that in the 8th chapter, 36. Let me tell you about doing wrong. Let me show what you got when you're doing wrong. It's just like you're doing wrong when you do wrong. Well, you turn down the wrong way street. You know what's going to happen. kicking there, you're going to kick you. You might run him again asking when you're doing wrong. Like, you know, guys might come in and say, oh, what you in? What you in here for? Or what you crying for? Well, you know, I was cashing bad checks. I was doing things wrong. He said, look here. You supposed to be where you supposed to be here then because you were doing wrong, right? What you crying for? You was doing wrong. And that what you tell them? You were doing wrong. So you got to pay the price if you're doing wrong. Same thing they're trying to tell you. If you're doing wrong, everybody tied to your hip. You're going to take them down, but you're taking yourself down. But you're doing wrong. So now, in the Proverbs chapter 8 there, Elder, do you know what the man got written? This is the wisest man in the world. He blessed him in 2 Chronicles 1. He asked him, what you want, my man Solomon, with your black self, according to 1 verse 5 of the Song of Solomon. What your black self want? He said, all I want to do is govern your peoples. He said, since you're talking that good talk like that, I'm going to make you the richest man to ever live. This guy named Mosa Meese or whatever they call that guy name. Not only Solomon was the richest man to ever live. Yahweh said that. He said, it will be nobody come as richer than you or none come after you. This guy they saying is the richest man to ever live, this old Negro. No. Not according to the Bible. Solomon was. Because he said all the right things. See, you got to say the right things. You got to give up that worldly paganism and understand one thing. You got to serve this man. Or you going to be burnt in the fire. My job to tell you this now. Look, Sunday, wrong day. Lord God, Jesus, and Jehovah, them wrong names. You're going to deliver yourself up and everybody tied to your hip. Now, that's his word called wrong again. Look what you're really doing. 8:36. Look what you're really doing. Proverbs.
Book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verse number 36 reads. Book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verse number 36 reads. Proverbs 8, verse 36. But he that sinneth against me, wrongeth his own soul. All those that hate me love death.
Okay. Yeah. If you sin against him, you're wrong in your own soul. If you're hollering Lord God and Jesus and Allah and Buddha and doing Sunday wrong day, you sin against the Almighty One. Sunday is the wrong day. Lord God, Jesus, and Jehovah, them wrong names. Do you know the price you're going to pay? Now, Paul went to Rome to tell them the price that you're going to pay. He went to Rome when you precept your Bible in 6:23. He went to Rome. And he found some Israelites over there. Judah was over there, too. He looked them eyeball to eyeball and said something to them, Elder, in 6:23. He told them something. Let's see what he told them. 6:23 of Romans.
Book of Romans 6, verse number 23 reads. Book of Romans chapter 6, verse number 23. Romans 6, verse 23 reads. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh is eternal life through Yahweh the Son, our Yahweh.
And once he found out you're wrong, he got it written in 3:19. What you do? He got it written. If you are bloodline Israel, yeah, the Mexican, Puerto Ricans, y'all, a lot of you are Israelites. You know, if your father. If your mother got caught up with Christopher Columbus and Cortez, but if your father is African American and Negro, then you are an Israelite. Okay? Where your daddy is, that's what you live. So if your mama, because they've done a lot of taking back the women with their babies, you know, all of the capital stuff to the boys, you know, they want the boys. But they took a lot of the women and put their seed in them. So whatever your daddy is, that is like, for example, Bob Marley. Well, I don't care how much you love his music. Whatever Bob Marley's daddy is, that's what he is. Louis Farrakhan, whatever your daddy is, that's what you is. You can talk all the good talk you want to, but whatever your daddy is, that's what you is. See? That's it. Well, I'm acknowledging you, whatever your daddy is, that's what you is. So Bob, Marty, and Falcon got Esau as their daddy. That's what their daddy is. That's simple enough. You pull up Falcon's daddy and look at him and say, God, dog. Falcon, you look just like that. You pull up on Bob Marley's daddy. God, dog, Bob Marley, you look just like this guy. Well, whatever your daddy is, that's what you is. See? Y'all got to understand these things. Whatever your daddy is, that's what you is. That's it. All right. What are we getting ready to read? Well, we got the precept on that. Okay, another thing. You got to understand something. In Matthew's chapter 23, Elvin, we got to take out some more things on the way. Got a memo in on some people confused about a few things. And Matthew's 23, verse 9 through 11. Let's see if we unblock some of this confusion of understanding. Matthew 23, 9 through 11. What does it say?
Look at Matthew 23, verse 9 through 11 reads, the book of Matthew, chapter 23, verse number 9 reads, Matthew 23, verse number 9. You call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Verse number 10. Neither be you called master, for one is your master, even Yahweh the Son. Verse number 11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant.
Mm-hmm. And the greatest among you is the servant. The 6 and 9 account the boss. We're here to serve you. We're here to get out of Matthew 25:21, 5:20. We're trying to break you away from this, you know, you've been taught wrong. Now, when you precept that to the book, now Paul was invited to the great big temple of the southern kingdom, and he delivered a knockout blow in 12 verse 9. You know? What he said in 12 verse 9 of Hebrews?
Number 8, Hebrews, chapter 12, verse number 9 reads, book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse number 9, book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 9, furthermore, we have had father of our flesh, which corrected us, we gave them reverence, so we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father's Spirit, and live. Verse number 10. For they truly for a few days chasing us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his righteousness. Verse number 11.
That's good. See, you got fathers of your flesh. Now you call him father of your flesh. But you don't call no religious man no father. You don't call that man over there in the Vatican City no father. Oh, holy, even what holy father he had, the Lord God and Jesus, and pale red at the same time, sinners of Esau. I stole everything the children of Israel got. Then go and sneak in the back room and worship a black Madonna and have everybody fall down and come back out there and show you white man Jesus and baby Jesus and Mary. That's a hypocrite. That's a hypocrite you worshiping. Huh? Only one you call father is the one that you are descended from. If you're not descended from that man, you don't call that man father. Not in no religion. Because he's not no holy father. He's not holy father. You don't do that. See? You don't do it. And another thing you don't do. David says, something mother dear of Israel. David, the angel came down to David and said something to him in 1:11, verse 9 and 10. And elder, have me 1 Samuel chapter 6, 9 through 14. Have that waiting on me there. I'm going to take a look at something else along the way there, elder. So now, mother dear of Israel, and the book of Psalms 1:11, verse 9 and 10, yep, the national ordinance out. Here come the angel of David again. He said, look, I'm back again, David. So David said, and David's got his pen out. So, all right, what? 111, verse 9 and 10. What does it say that mother D of Israel?
Verse 9. Sends redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Righteous and reverence is his name. Verse 10. Fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his law. His praises endures forever.
Read verse 9 again, Mo. Verse 9 again.
He sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Righteous and reverent.
So who is the Reverend? So who is Reverend? Reverend Jesse Jackson. So who is the Reverend according to verse 9? Who will be called Reverend according to verse 9? The angels tell you who will be called Reverend. So you got old preacher. Yeah. Who are you? Well, I'm Reverend William. You Reverend who? Wait a minute. You Reverend? According to the angels telling David that, you know, it's David, you know, it's going to be some people's in the, it's not going to be in your time, but they're going to call themselves Reverend Williams and Reverend Pittsburgh. They're going to be called Rev. He said, yeah. He said, just put it down. Anybody going to touch this but Yahweh's brought something to his life. So they don't get puffed up and they're going to be called themselves the Reverend, the Rev. Here come the Rev. But what did the angel told David in 111 verse 9 about this Reverend name? What did he say again, that mother?
Psalms 111 verse 9. He said redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Righteous and reverence is his name.
Reverence is the Psalm's name. That's what a Reverend is. So if you live forever, you'll be called Reverend. But if you don't live forever, then you don't be having it on your name, Reverend Jesse Jackson. See, that's puffed up. Oh, here comes the Reverend Jesse Jackson. Holy and righteous Reverend is his name. That's what the angel said. David said, God, dog, I don't know who this gonna, what lot this going to fall on. He said, well, David, it ain't going to be in your time. This is for 2 Samuel 7:19. This right here was for what, mother? Let's precept that and see where it was just for. See, when that statement was made, you know, David shot the ball, spotted his head behind that. He said, hold on, David. Somebody's going to precept that statement right there. And 2 Samuel 7:19. What it says in 2 Samuel 7:19. I want to see what it says myself. He said, look here. Second thing. Well, hold on. Let me peep over there. 7:19. I want to peep myself. Man, 7:19. What do it say in 7:19? I want to see myself. See, you hear small, still boys and say, hey, sir, turn at 7:19. Okay. Let's talk about that 7:19. Come on, mother.
2 Samuel 7:19. And this was yet a small thing in your sight, O Yahweh, but thou hast spoken also of your servant's family for a great while to come.
That's good right there. So the one they're going to be calling Reverend, Reverend Jackson, and all them Reverend Shopkins, that will be when? A great while to come. That was about 3,000 years ago. David's around about 1,000 B.C. So that was thousands of years, you know, to come. Then I call it Reverend Shopton, Reverend Jesse Jackson. And now you got all these Reverends. Well, who can be with you? I'm going to have a lot of Reverends with me. Reverends with you. He said, don't be called Reverend. He said, I'm the Reverend. See that? But he said this was for a great while to come. Okay? See, what you mean by a small, still voice talk to you? Latter-day Saints. You talk committee, boy. Let's get a precept on that, mother. Show back that 1 Kings, chapter 19. See, we don't mind. We don't get confounded when you throw something on the table. Because if we say something, we better to bag it up. We better bag it up everything we're saying. See, see, we don't worry about you. Because we know we got the greatest power with is Bible. And that's the greatest weapon you have is the Bible. If you know how to navigate through this Bible, and that small steel boys work with you, you be waiting on all the game sales. And all you want to do is put some book on them. That's all. Put some book on them. You ain't got to get in no bump the gum contest. Just put some book on them. We're going to the 19th chapter, mother. Now, in the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, now Jezebel, let's set it up. Elijah got excited. He told Yahweh to help me whoop all these folks around. And he got the, Yahweh gave him the beat down. And they gave the beat down big time. But then Ahaz, you know, get it back, went and told Jezebel, you know, all them folks and teachers and shepherds that you had, about 400, Elijah killed them all. She said, yeah. Well, I tell you what, you go back and take him a message. He's the same place that he will deliver my people up. I'm going to deliver you up. And guess what he did? Guess what Elijah did? Broke out running behind that woman's statement, the letter. She didn't tell him. She sent the letter. And when he got the letter, the Yahweh knew it was time to shut him down. Huh? It was time to shut him down. See, the greatest power you got at the word of Yahweh, this is the game changer right here. We could have read 54:17, a weapon formed against you, as long as you stay in Yahweh's word. When Yahweh knocks you down, he can get you back up. Even if he kill you, he can kill you and still wake you back up. This man got too much power for you to keep on bumming around this man's word. Now, in the 19th chapter there, now, Elijah, he ran to a certain mountain, and then when he got to the mountain, then Yahweh sent a big old angel down to him. He sent a big angel down to him. And look, watch how this angel operate with him in verse 5, 19:5. Now watch this. Now he don't got to run from this woman. Because he's saying, look here, that's enough, Yahweh. I'm in bad shape now. He broke out running. Yahweh watching everything he was doing. Let's see what happened in verse 5. Let's read a little bit down from verse 5. 1 Kings 19, verse 5. Mother, D.F. Israel, let's read a little bit.
1 Kings chapter 19, verse 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Verse 6. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coal, and a cube of water, and drank, and laid him down again. Verse 7. And the angel of Yahweh came again the second time, and touched him, and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. Verse 8. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of Yahweh. Verse 9. And he came hither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of Yahweh came to him and said, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Verse 10. And he said, I have been very jealous for Yahweh of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. Throw down thine altar and slain your seer with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before Yahweh. And behold, Yahweh passed by, and a great and strong wind, and breaking in pieces the rock before Yahweh. But Yahweh was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But Yahweh was not in the earthquake. Verse 12. And after the earthquake, a fire. But Yahweh was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice.
Excellent. Right there. Excellent. And say, well, what he heard? A still small voice. And once you become a servant of Yahweh and get anointed properly, you will hear a small still voice that tell you, put this with that and tie that in with that. Here come your game sale. But let's see what the small still voice told him after that, after he got him on his feet. Ayoda. So let's see what the small still voice told him after. He got him all on his feet, pat him on his back, got his belly all, got a nice pot belly on him, feeling good. What did the small steel boy tell him, Elvin, in verse 15 and 16 of 1 Kings? What happened? What happened next?
Look up 1 Kings, chapter 19.
Mm-hmm. Verse 15 and 16.
The book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. Verse 15, verse 16 reads, 1 Kings 19, verse 15, Yahweh said unto him, go return of thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Verse 16, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel Mahalah shall thy anoint to be seer in your room.
Now what will happen now? Now what will happen? Remember he said, our alone is on the left. Because like I said again, ain't but one seer at a time. So he knew then and there once he had taken all that business and go anoint another seer. He know one thing. It was death time for him, didn't it? He had to lay here. Because it ain't gonna be but one seer at a time. They gonna have a lot of his subjects bonding him, but ain't but one seer. So once he said, look here, you gonna know all these people that are in, get them all out of the way. But guess what? Didn't anoint Elisha in your room. So he know then and now. It ain't gonna be no two seers. They're going to be just one. So he knew the death sentence was on him to get out the way because another city going to take his place. And see, that's one of the greatest mysteries of understanding. You know, you got no problem understanding you got one chief justice at a time. Then you got a lot of abundance, but you got one chief justice. You got one president of the United States. You understand that? No problem. But what you can't understand, it ain't but one seer at a time. The chief seer. One at a time. And all the way he can be replaced, the other get ready to read in 7:15. So you can take it the way you want to take it. And First Samuel, the only way you can replace the seer that's speaking to you now, it tells you right now in First Samuel by Elder in 7:15.
Book of 1 Samuel, chapter 7, verse number 15 reads, Book of 1 Samuel, chapter 7, verse number 15, Book of 1 Samuel 7, verses 15. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life.
And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. So the seal is to judge Israel all the days of his life. Now, once you don't hear those seals, you already got somebody already warm up in the bullpen. But for right now, whether you like it or not, all over this known world, you got one seal. And the only way you replace him is through death. Let's get a precept on that. Let's go to 37 chapter, Elder. We're going to Ezekiel 37, 1 down to verse 4, 9 through 22. Because the seal got a job to do. And probably that I'll be the one to see this thing unfold. So it's no accident. Land School Banquet Hall radio station is on the way. It's no accident because all the big dignitaries will come and old city will put the eyeballs on them. Look what's written over here in Ezekiel 30. We precepting. We're doing some precepting now. We're going to Ezekiel 37, 1 down to verse 4, 9 through 22. All the gang sales, just take notes. Take notes. Look at what the scripture's saying. Believe the Bible if you don't believe nothing else. Ezekiel 37, 1 down to verse 4, 9 to verse 22. What did it say to him?
The book of Ezekiel 37, 1 through 4, verse number 9 through 22 reads, Ezekiel 37, verse number 1, the hand of Yahuwah was upon me, carried me out in the spirit of Yahuwah, set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, verse number 2, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Verse number 3. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Now answer, O Yahuwah, thou knowest. Verse number 4. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of Yahuwah. Verse number 9.
Hold on. Before you get it, let me get in that. Did you say? He said, again, he said to me in verse 4, prophesy upon these dry bones and say unto them, O you dry bones, what? Hear the words of Yahuwah. Who got to hear the word of Yahuwah? The dry bones. From who? The seer. Yahuwah tell Ezekiel to take care of his business. The seer job to take care of his business. That's the closest thing you can get to some Yahuwah. There's the return verse 4. He said, look here. He said, 3. And he spoke unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I, Yahuwah, thou knowest. So you see what's going on here? So now when we get to verse 9, I mean, listen, just watch what's said in verse 9. 9 down to verse 22. Bring it, Elder. Come on.
Book of Ezekiel 37, verse number 9 reads, Ezekiel 37, verse number 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy son of man, and say to the wind, the son of Yahuwah, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe unto these flames that they live. Verse number 10, I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived, stood upon their feet, feeding great army. Verse number 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole family of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dry, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Verse number 12. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith Yahuwah, behold, O my people, I will open your grave and cause you to come up out of your grave and bring you into the land of Israel. Verse number 13. You shall know that I am Yahuwah when I have opened your grave, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. Verse number 14. I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I am Yahweh, have spoken it, performed it, saith Yahweh. Verse 15, the word of Yahweh came again unto me, saying, verse 16, moreover thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it, for Yahweh Judah and for the children of Israel his companion. Then take another stick and write upon it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the family of Israel, his companion. Verse 17, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. Verse 18, where the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, for thou art sure what thou meanest by thee. Verse 19, say unto them, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribe of Israel his fellows with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and there shall be one in my hand. Verse 20, and the sticks of all thy riders shall be in thy hand before their eyes. Verse 21, and say unto them, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will take the family of Israel from among the nations, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. Verse 22, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. One king shall be king to them all, and there shall be no more two nations. Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all.
Now look what he say. He said he told Hosea, now see, your responsibility is to get Southern and Northern Kingdom, and then you gotta, they gotta be in your hand to get to my hand. The only way they don't get in my hand, they gotta get in your hand first. So you gotta take the two sticks and put them together. You gotta put the Southern Kingdom and the Northern Kingdom of the 12 tribes of Israel together, Seer. That's your responsibility. Now, once they in your hand, then they can be in my hand, because they already broke down the obedience. See, they won't be no more stiff-necked. So the seer got great responsibility. I got to look at both of these sticks, because I'm the seer of the hour as we speak. So I got to look at this thing as it unfolds. Northern and Southern Kingdom. The Northern Kingdom, they just full of Roman Catholic Church Christianity. The Southern Kingdom, they all Baptists and Muslims. So it's a great, now how is that to happen? See? That's why we all stand one thing. This is a big job ahead of us, but it's going to be done because it's written. But this whole goal is, and that's all on the seer's mind, putting both sticks back together, one in my hand, then Yahweh can say, I got it from there. Really? So that's why it's no accident. Support this ministry. Help us help you. Land School Banquet Hall radio station, like yesterday. For the people to come, have a place to come, but I can recognize all the ones that's of old by their spirit. Their spirit got to be right. They don't know who they are. What you mean? They don't know who they are. Look at the Latter-day Saints. Well, Elder, before you read Jeremiah, Elder, 31:1-35-37, a mother, give me Ecclesiastes chapter 1, 9-11. Let me help the big dignitaries out. Everybody of old will return in the spirit of those of old. That's why you got to know how they operate. You got to know how they operate, what they once done. But they're not going to know who they are today. That's why you see people doing certain things, and they don't know why they're doing it. Remember, the wicked is back too. Sometimes people are just wicked and they ain't going to do right. They bad too. And the ones that are going to do right, they bad too. But you got to recognize everybody from the pages of the book. See, still don't watch this one-eyed Satan on the new, on Faggot Friends and 10 o'clock news. No. I watch you from the pages of the book. I watch you from the pages of this book. That's how I come up with a conclusion on you and your demeanor from this book. That's how I watch you. 1:9-11, what it say that mother? Ecclesiastes 1:9-11, what it say?
Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. The thing that has been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Verse 10. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. It has been already of old time, which was before us. Verse 11. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after.
Mm-hmm. And mother, who is this thing that we can precept? Who is this thing that's of old, but they not going to have no remembrance that they ever been? No, remember, once you die, your body goes back to the ground. I mean, that's true. You return back, but the spirit do something else, Mother D.F. Israel. According to Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, what happened to the spirit of man, the breath of life? What happened to that? In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, tell us what happened to it. We know your body go back. So all these big dignitaries, we know their bodies have went back to the ground. But what happened to the little spirit in it? What happened to that? Why don't you please have your Bible read 12, verse 7 of Ecclesiastes. Tell you what happened to that. What happened to the mother? 12, verse 7 of Ecclesiastes. What happened?
Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to Yahweh, who gave it.
Oh! So that breath that you breathe, when you say I'm taking your last breath, guess what? That last breath was taken by Yahweh, and he put that same breath of that person. He put on the shelf. Then, and somebody old new baby, you take that new baby, you put that same spirit in that new baby, but that'd be the old baby, really. That's why even sometimes you say, you know what? I've been here before. Well, I can't remember. And something about this person here, see, the seer going to recognize those of the book. And I spotted some already. I spotted some go-getters already from the pages of the book, body action. Because the action is going to push them, and it's going to point at who got that spirit. So we'll take care of another lesson. Now, come on back, mother, give me that precept in Ecclesiastes about this thing. Who is this thing he's talking about that have been here before but have no knowledge that they ever been here before? Who is this thing, precept of your Bible? In the sixth chapter of the same book, Ecclesiastes, verse 10 and 11. It tells you what the thing is. The Bible tells you the whole story. See, understand one thing. The second temple is going to be big enough, there's going to be too many rooms up there. So the one teaching, they got to be teaching right. How you going to teach? Through the precepts. You just can't teach the same thing you've been hearing in the Christian church. Or you got to get out of there. You got to teach some precepts. You got to wake up Grandmama and Aunt Willie Mae. And you got to get them little young ones and come out to the campus. Give them a pad. But it's what the come. They got to know who the thing is that's been here before by precepting your Bible. We're going to teach precepts. We're not going to tell you believe what? Believe some precepts. Show me in the Bible what the Bible's saying. Watch mother deliver the knockout blow in 6, verse 10 and 11 about thing. Who is this thing is that have no knowledge of self when it returns back into another body from the spirit of Yahweh? Who this thing is? Let's read about it, mother. 6, verse 10 and 11, Ecclesiastes. Come on.
Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Verse 10. That which has been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Verse 11. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better?
So, mother, so who are that thing that Benny already and back now? Who's that thing according to verse 10? Who's that thing is, mother?
Man.
Man. You see that? Man. Yeah, I know my auntie, my better have it. Yeah, but that spirit's still in Yahweh's hand. If you live long enough, you see that same person again. You know I do some Bible. See, everybody's spirit back. And as we told Daniel, he told Daniel something over there in 4:13. Hey, what did he tell Daniel? Because Daniel asked a lot of questions, Elder, in 4:13, but what did he tell Daniel?
Book of Daniel, chapter 4, verse number 13 reads. Daniel chapter 4, verse number 13 reads. I saw in the vision of my head upon my bed, behold, a watcher and a righteous one came down from heaven.
Mm-hmm. All right, Elder, but I think I'm kind of all over the place on that one. And Daniel, make that 12, Elder. Yeah, that's pretty good. We could have took that and ran with it, but we just make it a little more plainer. And 12, verse 4, and verse number 8, 9, 12, verse 4, 8, 9, and 13. We just make it plain for the national audience. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, 8, 9, and 13. Elder, Yada, deliver.
The book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse number 4, verse number 8 and 9, and verse number 13 reads, Book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse number 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and sealed the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Verse number 8, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Yahweh, what shall be the end of these things? Verse number 9, he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Verse 13, but go thy way till the end be, where thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days.
You ain't told Daniel. If Daniel go on your way, go and get you some shut out. But you gonna stand in thy lot at the end of days. We in the end of days now. Daniel is back now. Daniel is back. Somebody got the spirit of Daniel right now. And the seal gonna recognize the spirit of Daniel from the Daniel's works of what he did in the book. And somebody going to present himself from the old seer. And I'm going to spot that Daniel. He ain't be no Christian. He going to be according to Daniel, peoples in Israel. Because this Daniel going to have some 9:22, Elder. What is Daniel going to see? When you Daniel the Bible, you going to have some Daniel 9:22. Hey, Elder, what is it saying Daniel 9:22? Now, Taylor, pick up a verse 18, just walk down to it. This is how you got to be. Now, the Daniel of the Bible, see, listen, the Daniel of the Bible, he going to come before those seer, where the sitting seer is. And he might be called himself any type of name, but his spirit, old seer, going to recognize, brother, that's not who you really are, brother. Well, I don't know why I'm here, seer. I don't know why I'm here. I know why you're here. They're going to bag up. And let's make a little meal out of this, Elder. We're back up to Daniel chapter 9. And we're going to walk this thing down a little bit because we need to take care of this right here. Let's pick up verse 14 down to verse 22. See, listen, we got to take care of this because I'm telling you something. You just can't say, see, your name might be called you might even call about a pagan name or the worldly name. But something about you going to wake me up to look at this Bible and say, no, no, that ain't your name. That ain't your biblical name. That might be your world or your government name, but that's your biblical name. No, that ain't your biblical name. Well, who am I? Sound to tell you who you are. Because I got recognized a sister. I know you. That's your government name, but that ain't who you really are. No, that ain't not the way you move. You move like this woman in this book. That's how you move, and I know who you are. But we ain't talking to take care in this lesson. See, I recognize. I watch everybody from the pages of the book. I know who you are because I study your words from this book. That's how the CRO. I know who you are from the pages of the book. Now, in the ninth chapter, let's pick it up around by verse number 14. Well, I said 14:22. Listen to this right here. I'm just right back and drinking my river tea on this. 14:22, Elder, what it say? Or Daniel 9:14-22, what it say?
The book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse number 14-22, read. Book of Daniel 9. Verse number 14. Therefore have Yahweh watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For Yahweh is righteous in all his works which he doeth when we obey not his voice. Verse 15. And now, O Yahweh, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and has gotten thee renowned, as at this day we have sinned. We have done wickedly. Verse 16. O Yahweh, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee that thine anger and thy fury be put away from the city of Yahdaju. Thy righteous mind, because for our sins and for the iniquity of our fathers, Yahdaju and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Verse 17. Now therefore, O Yahweh, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy temple that is desolate for Yahweh's sake. Verse number 18. O my Yahweh, incline your ear, hear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolation, and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. Verse number 19. O Yahweh, hear. O Yahweh, forgive. O Yahweh, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my Yahweh, for thy city and your people are called by your name. Verse 20. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sins of my people, Israel, presented my supplication before Yahweh, my Yahweh for the righteous mountain of my Yahweh. Verse 21. And while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision in the beginning, being called to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening of oblation. Verse 22. And he informed me, talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give you skill and understanding.
Read verse 22 again. Listen good. Especially on the national audience. Say, remember, Daniel was an Israel, the Israelite from the tribe of Judah. Daniel's business was Israel's business. Daniel was the seer of that hour. That was his business. I'm the seer of this hour. My business is about Israel. My business ain't about the world. My business is about Israel, southern and northern kingdom. How is I'm going to get southern and northern kingdom to be one stick? What got to happen? My business ain't about none of that stuff you got. Clear thing in the world is temporary. My business is doing what the seals left off at. My job is to pick it up right now and take it to the next level. Now, that's why I give it all I got. It can be my last. I don't know. But I'm going to give you all I got. And I'm not anti-anybody. I'm just pro 12 tribes of Israel, like all the rest of the seals was. That was it. Daniel was the man of the hour. And when the angel left him, look what Daniel had, and he back now somewhere, and I'm going to be the one to spot him to page the books. He's going to come every photo seer. He'll be talking that talk. He might be calling himself a government name, but his spirit going to connect. And as small as his brother say, you know what that is? Who that? That's Daniel of old. Because this guy going to have what in verse 22 of him?
Book of Daniel 9, verse 22. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give you skill and understanding.
Ain't that something? You hear the man is saying? This thing is about skill and understanding. It's about no seniority. Ain't about no seniority, you know. No. Skills and understanding. How to take care of Yahuwah's business. Know what to do when you're on the clock in Yahuwah's business. We're going to give a case in point. Not in this lesson, maybe get it tomorrow. Listen, you got to understand. Things dump, a case in point. What you do when the heat is on you, you got to make a Bible decision. You can't make a fussy decision. That's why I know who's who. When you make a Bible decision, then I take notes on you by making a Bible decision. Okay. So if you make a Bible decision, you're all right. Now, who else coming with him in 2 Ezra chapter 2? See, now, Daniel is back now, but we ain't in temple number 2 yet, because Daniel's going to come down to temple number 2, and I'm going to be sitting somewhere jacking my slacks, reading the good book, and he's going to come talking that talk. And then a small people will say, that's Daniel. And who else going to come and present himself before those sitting seer? Start out by going to 2 Ezra chapter 2. Yep. And we'll pick it up verse number. We're going to pick it up at 2 Ezra chapter 2. And we're going to pick it up somewhere. Yep. I'm struggling right now. But I know I'm struggling right now in 2 Ezra. I'm looking for who else gonna join him. But I'm struggling right now, yo. Then you have to see out because he's struggling right now. By 237, somewhere in 237. I'm struggling. I need to get some more names there, yo. I need to get some more help. Some more names. Thank you, mother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. See that what I'm talking about. See, that's what makes us, you know, it don't take much to make those seer happy. All you got to do is put a scripture on the table. Don't see, I'm already happy. Like I said, you can buy me for a dad if you got some scriptures going for you. That's what I'm going to buy. I know what I'm here for, you know, and I'm going to give it all I got. Because one thing about it, that, see, Yahuwah, he'll knock you down, but when he got you back up, it's okay, now you understand this thing, what you're going to do. Hey, yo, give me that 137. Thank you, mother. Take on down to verse number 40. See, listen, understand something. I'm not anti-anybody. I'm just pulling 12 trials of Israel. I know what I'm here for. I got to connect the dots. I got to be sitting somewhere to watch these people come back. Then we can tell you the next move after all these is in order. Let's see what it says if we can read. And 1, verse 37. Thank you, that mother, D.F. Israel. 137, 2 Ezra. 37 to verse 40.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 1, verse number 37 through 40 reads. Book of 2 Ezra 1, verse 37. And take to witness the grace of the peoples to come, whose little ones rejoice in gladness, though they have not seen me with bodily eyes, yet in the spirit they believe the thing that I say. Verse 38, and thy brother, behold what honor, see the people that cometh from the east. Verse 39, and to whom I will give for leaders, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Hoshea, Amos and Micah, Joel, Esdras, and Jonah. Verse number 40, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Agiah, Zechariah, and Malachi, which is called also an angel of Yahweh.
Now, he just named so many names, and we're going to find out how many names that was named, but you got to please at the bottom and find out how many names that was named. In the fifth chapter of Micah, another figure is going to tell you exactly what you just got through counting. Exactly what you got through counting is in Micah chapter 5, verse number 5, verse 5. Now, you just got through counting something, Elder. Let's see what you just got through. You just count a lot of names, and we're going to precept and see how many you just got through counting. Let's see what it says in 5, verse 5 of Micah.
The book of Micah 5, verse number 5. And this man shall be the peace when the Assyrians shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces. Then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men.
When Assyrians, this is talking spiritually. The Assyrians have already came in your land up under the banner of Esau and his 5 sons. Remember, northern kingdom was already here. Millions was already here. Christopher Columbus, that's who the spiritual Assyrians is. This is a spiritual thing. And then he said, once they get in your land, now they don't come in your land. Matter of fact, they charge you for a water bill. Now, they are taking your land, and now they charging you for water. You see, now, you know that they charging you, and they have taken your land, and they have tagged you with a water bill. Then they cut your water off. Get your pipes up. You see what they do? But he said 15 men after the Syrians get in your land, Yahweh said, I'm going to raise up 15. I mean, he raised up 8 and 7. That's 15. 15 principal men of the Bible is going to be raised up. So every name we just got through reading, let's see, it'll go back and read them and see how many is them. Do it equal up to the prophecy of 5 verse 5. 5 verse 5 says 8 and 7. Now 8 and 7 is 15. After the Syrians get in your land. The Syrians have came in your land up on the banner of Esau and his 5 sons. They have came and killed your buffaloes, and they had the hat in your hand with now you eating hog and everything else. You're dying like flies now, eating hog, eating cow, and eating chicken. You ain't never had none of that stuff. All this stuff there will keep you with diabetes, cancer, and every other, and eating Chinese food. All that stuff there, that's not good for you, children of Israel. You don't go eat that. Eat green food. The 3 principal meats in 17, verse 2 of Leviticus, with fish. That's your diet. Start eating all that stuff that they eat, that starch food. Start eating all that chicken, cow, and hog. You know, that ain't your meat. You're supposed to eat green food, a lot of corn. Corn is a blood purifier. Get your blood up. Just in case somebody's sick around you. Eat corn every time you have a meal. Have some corn with it. You know, that's why we sick. You go buy some ground beef. Well, I'm going to make some great tacos. The ground beef says 79% ground beef. And you get it anyway, right? What the other 21% is? Pig casing, pig stuff. They don't put pig in it. They don't put 21% pig. You look at your ground beef, you see what it says, 90% ground beef. But what's 10% is? Pig. And you want to know why you always got to be bitten and cooked? Why your blood pressure all the way up? Why you ain't got no energy? Huh? Yahweh knocks you down, but he's trying to build you up. He's trying to build you up now. That's why these principal men got to show up. But see, it's going to see them from the pages of the book. Now, give me a roll call on these 15 men again in that verse number, whatever that verse was. I want to see if these principal men, they all of them dead now. But what do you say about basically total 15 men with the name and mother, a bird dog, a big time of them on how many did he just got you counting? Come on back, Elder, 140, was it 140, 141, whatever it was. I'm looking for 15 names. Come on.
The book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 1, verse number 40 reads. Book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 1. The book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 1, verse number 39 reads. Unto whom I would give her, unto whom I would give for leaders, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Hosea, Amos, Micah, Joel, Haggai, and Jonas. Verse number 40, Nahum and Habakkuk, Sophonius, Agias, Zechariah, and Malachi, which is called also an angel of Yahweh.
And an angel means a messenger. These will be messenger. How many is that, mother? Hey, mother, how many is that?
15.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? 15. Hey, Hill, how many say again in Micah 5, verse 5, Hill?
The book of Micah, chapter 5, verse number 5 reads. Book of Micah, chapter 5, verse number 5. Book of Micah, chapter 5, verse number 5, read. Micah 5, verse number 5. And this man shall be the peace. The Assyrian shall come unto our land. And when he shall tread in our palace, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men.
Ain't that something? The Assyrians have came into your land. The Syrians have taken over your land. The Syrians, the one that you pay your telephone bill to. The Syrians is the one you, but they're part of the banner of Esau and his 5 sons, translated as the white man and the white woman. And the mother nation, they don't came in your land. They here. But he said when they get here, he don't raise up 15 principal men. Hmm? Mother, give me a precept on that in 4:18 of Luke. And Elder, have me 2:18. We're going to read a little bit in 2:18 in a minute. Not only that, that's 15. But he's going to do something else that we need to know about it on tape 21. March the, what is it? March the 17th, 18th. What date is it? March 17th, 2000. And 24. We know something. We know what he got written in 418 out of verse 22, Mother dear of Israel. Look what he said here. And Luke 4:18 and 22. Listen to what Mother getting ready to bring out those that got a ear to hear. Luke 4:18 and 22. What does it say, Mother?
Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 22. Verse 18. The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me, because he has anointed me to teach the covenant to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenminded, to teach deliverance to the captive, to recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. 19. To teach the acceptable years of Yahweh. Verse 20. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the temple were fastened on him. 21. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.
Ain't that something? That's it. That's it, Mom. That's it. Ain't that something? This day is it fulfilled in your ears. Did you hear what Moses got to read? The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me to teach you to come out of that paganism. Come. Six anointed camps. We got a big job to do. Land, school, banquet hall, radio station. We got to get it. Got to stop dragging your feet. Get in where you fit in at. Do what the Bible tells you to do. Get that puffed up spirit out you. Let's get it on. The seer got to be sitting there to watch all this stuff unfold here. This day have this scripture been fulfilled in your ear. You going to believe the Bible or not? You going to keep on kicking. Keep kicking just the word. That's on you. Ezra 2:18, let's read a little bit. Same book, 2nd Ezra 2:18. Listen good. Now we got 15 minutes. They got to show up. But when they show up, they got to come and sit down at the feet of the seal. Do you understand that? That's why that sign got to happen. Not only that, and 2:18, we're going to read a little bit. Do we get our point? Listen. Somebody else got to come. Yes, the spirit of somebody else got to come. 2:18, let us read a little bit. Ever come out.
The book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 2. Verse number 18, you read, "For thy help will I send my servant Isaiah and Jeremiah after the whose counsel have sanctified and prepared for these 12 trees laden with diverse fruits."
Ain't that something? Two more, and they all prepared for the 12 fruits. The 12 fruits, that's what they paid for. He going to send, he going to raise up 15 more, then two more, that's 17 got to come. And all going to be on their mind is about these 12 fruits. Now we're going to precept that, Mother D.F. Israel. Yeah, and Elder held me that first sermon, I ain't forgot about it, 6, 9 through 14. Let's precept that, Mother. Who are these 12 fruits, Mother? Mother, we should have precept that back to First Kings. Come at the First Kings chapter 19. We want a precept. Well, who are these? And all will be on their mind. See, when they show before the seer, they're not going to be talking that old talk. They're going to be talking about one thing. We're here to help raise up Southern and Northern Kingdom. What part you want us to do? I'm here to help you, seer, take care of this business. That's how they're going to be talking. They here for the 12 manner of fruits. What are you talking about? We got to go read. Mother, in 1 Kings chapter 19, you know, this sometimes it's right here. It kind of makes old seer hands get nervous when we start seeing that and hearing a small seer voice say, "Yeah, seer, you own something." And they own their way because you know why? When you put it out there. All you got to do is put it out there. And the ones to hear. And so it's no accident we all over the place. And we'll be in more places to come. And one thing about, and they gonna hear that word, they gonna get up for the word. Not for personality, no. Don't get up for personality, get up for the word. In the 19th chapter there, Mother, we wanna take a look at something and we wanna look at a statement, Mother. But I'm struggling right now, Mother. And 1 Kings chapter, make it 18, Mother. I'm trying to find where these 12 is, but I'm kind of struggling right now in 1 Kings chapter 18, you know, because we own something, Mother. And in 1 Kings chapter 18, I'm looking for a statement, Mother, about these 12. So, let's see what it says in verse 31. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 31. Let's see what it says there, Mother D.F. I'll tell you what, just to make it sound good, read verse 30 and 31 just to make it sound good. 1 Kings 18:30. Yeah, verse 30 and 31, just to make it sound good.
1 Kings 18, verses 30 and 31. Verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near unto me." And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of Yahweh that was broken down. 31. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the numbers of the tribe of the sons of Israel, unto whom the word of Yahweh came, saying, Israel shall be your name.
Ain't that something? That's big talk, Mother, that's big talk. That's great big old talk. So these 12 fruits is talking about who, Mother? Who are you talking about, Mother? The 12 tribes of Israel. So you see, this Bible ain't cold. Ain't come out no Christian. So if you're a Christian, you know, you just Islam, Judaism, just wasting your time. If you're a bloodline of Israelite, get down to verse number 36 and 39. Let's hear some of this good talk, Mother. 36 down to verse 39.
Chapter 18, 36 to 39, 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the seer came near and said, Yahweh of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art Yahweh in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. 37. Hear me, O Yahweh, hear me, that this people may know that thou art Yahweh, and that thou hast turned their mind back again. 38. Then the fire of Yahweh fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stone, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. 39. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, Yahweh, he is Yahweh. Yahweh, he is Yahweh.
Ain't that something? You know, a lot of times, you know, I was saying, he said, why you always got them two handkerchiefs with you? You know, I said, because I'm always crying when I look at people like you, 12 tribes of Israel. Y'all bring tears to Seer's eyes on what you supposed to be doing. You're so busy chasing this, the mighty dollar of the world, and not taking care of Yahweh's business. You make those Seer have two handkerchiefs wiping his eyes when I see you. When I get on them buses, I just ran back, give me a seat. It's hey, Mr. Seer, why are you crying over there? Because when I see y'all makes me cry. Because you don't know who you are. Hey, Elder, give me a Thomas verse 3. Give me a precept of Elder, Thomas verse 3. See, if you know who you are, see, you see it when you have to cry so much for you, if you just knew who you are. You think you Christians, African American, Negro, and Spanish, Puerto Rican, and Cubans, and Latinos. That's not true. Listen what he looked Thomas eyeball to eyeball in verse 3. He looked him eyeball to eyeball, and he said something. Hey, Elder, what did he say in verse 3? What did he say, Elder? What did he say in Thomas verse 3 to Elder? Where's our Elder? Where's our Elder? At WCC, where's the elder at? Where's the elder at WCC? Seer, you've been giving out too much information. We're going to mute him for the rest of the broadcast. He is through talking. This is my radio station, not yours. Well. Can't bring that out, Mother. So we leave it like it is, then, Mother. So, like they said, they don't spoke. They said, well, we bring out too much information. They are through talking for the rest of the night. MUTE on him. Where's your radio station? What can I say? So, Mother, let's make a little adjustment. Let's go to the Chronicle book. See, what you got to understand something in 1 Chronicles 36, verse 12, 14 down to verse 16. Some things you got to understand. See, one thing about it, the world going to do what they got to do. That's why I keep telling you, those of the 12 tribes that scattered, understand that you are Israel. And once you come to know who you really are, you're out of poverty. You might have your $10, as long as you call yourself African-American, Negro in color, and a Spanish, and Puerto Rican and Mexican, you don't know who you are. That's not your birth certificate. Your birth certificate is Exodus chapter 1. Ain't nobody called Spanish, Puerto Rican, or Mexicans, or Peruvians. That's not who you are. Your birth certificate is Exodus chapter 1, 1 through 7. That's who you really are. So, Mom, let's make a little detour, Mother, in 1 Chronicles 36, verse 12. We'll take care of tomorrow on when the young lions start roaring. We'll take care of that 219 tomorrow about some good stuff in that. Now let's look at 1 Chronicles 36. And see how Yahweh thinks about this thing. But y'all keep on paying the sin, don't never mind. 36, verse 12, what it say, Mother? 2 Chronicles 36.
Yeah. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 12.
Yeah, what do verse 12 say?
2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 12. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh, his Yahweh, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah, the seer, speaking from the mouth of Yahweh.
Hmm. So you see, when you don't humble yourself before the seer, you know, you see the physical seer, but you got a problem with the physical seer. But Yahweh puts the words in the seer's mouth to tell you. He's looking at a person. Well, why he called himself a seer? Because that's you know, that's who I am. I know who I am. Okay? And ain't but one seer at a time. You already read that already. But see, if you don't do what again, Mother, in verse 12? What's that again, Mother? What do you got to do in verse 12?
2 Chronicles 36, verse 12. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh, his Yahweh, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah, the seer, speaking from the mouth of Yahweh.
Ain't that something? So Mother, who do the seer speak from the mouth of who?
Well, that was written.
That was written? I mean, that what the Bible said. What said Big Dignitary? You got a precept. Give me verse 31. Give me two lines in 31, Mother. I mean 21. Two lines in verse 21. Two lines. Top two lines.
In 36, 2 Chronicles.
Yeah, give me
20.
Two lines. Yeah, give me two lines.
2 Chronicles 36:21. To fulfill the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah.
Yeah. To fulfill the words of Yahweh by the mouth of who, Mother?
Jeremiah.
You see that?
Oh, Yahweh, by the mouth of Jeremiah.
Yahweh don't have nothing to say to you and nobody else. He speaks through his seers to tell you what you need to do. Verse 22, three lines. Three lines.
22. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of Yahweh spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished.
Ain't that
Yahweh?
That's it. That's good. Again, when Yahweh got something to say, Mother, according to verse 22, 21, and 12, how do we operate, Mother?
He spoke through Jeremiah.
That's it. That's how the people gonna get it. See, that's one of the greatest mysteries to understand teaching. Now read verse 15, read verse 14 to 16. Now listen, now watch this. I know you don't pay to see no never mind, but we read in Bible. And it tells you in 41:21, we're not going to read in Isaiah. If you take anything different, produce your cause. Show me what steps you're going to counteract anything we're saying. We ain't telling you nothing that you ain't reading yourself. 14 out of verse 16.
2 Chronicles 36:14-16. Verse 14. Moreover, all the chiefs of the priests and the people sinned very much after all the abominations of the nations and polluted the temple of Yahweh, which he had hallowed in Judah. 15. And Yahweh of their fathers sent to them by his messenger, raising up betimes and sending because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. 16. But they mocked the messenger of Yahweh and despised his words and misused his spear until the wrath of Yahweh arose against his people. Here there was no remedy.
No remedy. See, you can't keep on misusing the seal. You can't keep on mocking no seal. He's trying to tell you the seal is in your midst right now. It's up to you to make the adjustment. It's up to you. But look it up in Sirach chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. See, you understand something. You got a seal in your midst right now. But I know you paying no never mind. We tell you what the man is saying. It's up to you to understand. He had one seer at a time and many subjugated up under him to help do this work. He going to raise up 17. They already here now. The seer got to be sitting somewhere to watch these spirits come. And a lot of mothers of old spirits got to come. This whole lot of stuff got to happen. That's why there's no accident. Land, school, banquet hall, radio station. We got to get it like yesterday. Why? Because all this got to be fulfilled. You see? But you get ready to read, mother. Yes. Sirach. But now listen to this right here. Sirach 4, verse 6 and 7. Listen good now. Sirach 4, verse 6 and 7.
In the bitterness of his soul, his prayer shall be heard of him that made him. Verse 7. Get yourself the love of the congregation and bow your head to a great man.
Ain't that something? You see the power he left for the Hosea? If he curse you in a bit of his mind, say this person just ain't going to do right. Yahweh says his prayer will be heard by him. See, what's the problem? Oh, I see the problem. I want you to come out your mouth. This person will remain. What do you think I should do to him? So you see what the power of the seer got? Read again. One more time, mother, for you to be clear. So all that be backdooring the seer with all that fat mouth talking, you ought to quit that fat mouth talking. Huh? Let's see what it say again. Sirach, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7.
Sirach, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Verse 6. For if he curse you in the bitterness of his soul, his prayer shall be heard of him that made him. Get yourself the love of the congregation and bow your head to a great man.
See that? Let's give a precept on that, mother, in 10 verse 20 of Sirach. I mean Ecclesiastes, out of the regular book, 10 verse 20. See, even as right now, we know on the international side over 9,000 strong, you might have thoughts in your head. But let me tell you something. Even the thoughts in your head Yahweh, I know the thoughts in your head. Case in point. 10 verse 20. Ecclesiastes 10:20.
Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. You can read the whole verse.
You say Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20.
Yeah, 10:20. Yeah, go ahead and read the whole verse, 10:20. Listen to this, 10:20.
Curse not the king. Do not in your thoughts. And curse not the rich in thou their chamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which has wings shall tell the matter.
Yeah, mother. So you be sitting around right now. Look at that kid be talking that talk. You're not easing your thoughts. I can't hear you, but guess what, Yahweh, I'll hear you. Let's get Ezekiel 33, verse 39, verse 33. We'll close out with that, man. We'll leave it right there. Let's get Ezekiel 33, verse 30 to 33, and we'll close out with that. You know, when we come back on air with the Bossy's Clock, listen, even your thoughts, you can be sitting down, might not say nothing out your mouth. But if you curse the old seer out in your mind, guess what? You got to do the Surah 38, verse 11, make a fast free will offering. And Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, then he'll say, son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven. So if you think wrong about the seer and curse him out, and by now you open your mouth, you got a sin over your head. Surah 38, verse 11, and Yahweh, I tell you, I'm not going to forgive you until you make a fat offering. And 8, verse 12, then I'm going to say, your sin is forgiven in the book of Hebrews. So watch yourself in your thoughts. Don't sit around and be talking. That seer think he think he the only seer. Yes, I am, according to the Bible. Yes, I am. Look at it in 30 verse 33 in closing statement. Listen good. Listen to this right here. What's it, Mother?
Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 30 to 33. Thou son of man, the children of your people still are talking against you by the walls and in the doors of the house, and speaking one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from Yahweh. 31. And they come unto you as the people coming. And they sat before you as my people. And they hear your words. They will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their mind goes after their covetousness. 32. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do them not. 33. And when this comes to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a seer has been among them.
See, I don't know where you might be. You might be washing clothes, driving the car, especially. But soon later, it's going to dawn on you. It's a seer in your midst. And you got to change your ways and understand. One seer at a time with many subjects upon them. That's how it works. You understand by one chief of staff, chief justice, you got a problem with that. But when we tell you the seer is on the clock as we speak, you snuff at it, it's going to cost you big time, and your thoughts is going to wreck you. And what are they going to do for your spirit? You'll be all over the place. You're not going to never be comfortable because you won't come clean. there's a seer in your midst by the name of Seer Israel of Sea Royals. My dear Israel, action on your part. Close favor to tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Take your time and deliver. Come on.
Yes, I'm going to read Psalms chapter 20, verse 1. Yahweh hears me in the day of trouble. The name of Yahweh of Israel defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary, temple, and strengthen me as Yahweh Jesus. Hallelujah,
Father. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Father. Excellent. That's one of the most out of care one, Mother B of Israel. Excellent. So we say we'll leave it like that from the elders that was on the broadcast, on the mothers, sisters, brothers, and those on the international side. Understand one thing. We ain't anti-anybody. All we about is 12 tribes of Israel. We try to help you, but help us to help you. Land School Banquet Hall Radio Station, get support this ministry, because we're going to show you how to help your loved ones by bringing them to the great big temple number 2 and sit them down and teach them the truth before they get up out of here. We'll teach the babies before they go out to the public school system and get contaminated with that white man Jesus and all that stuff in there. That don't fit the Bible nowhere. These people, it's black folks with woolly hair all through the Bible. Got it? Good. From the mothers, the brothers, the sisters, and those on the international side, we just approached 12 tribes of Israel. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Catch you tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Shalom.
Including the newly added finals jerseys for only $35. All sports available, worldwide shipping. Link in the description.
He is leading the Celtics in scoring in these finals. Spike Smart. Smart against Curry.
Hey guys, obviously a unique situation at the end of the game there, I'm guessing. Well, none of us have ever seen anything like that, but how challenging is that when it's 15 minutes or whatever it is at the end of the game, just to try to stay focused and try to, you know, get back in a rhythm after all that time off?
Welcome back, everyone. Following a disappointing defeat to Golden State, the Lakers have fallen back to the 10th seed. And boy, was that game ever a weird one. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen the final 2 minutes of a game take over a half an hour before, and especially not from a shot clock issue, which completely killed the Lakers' ability to get back into this one, along with the refs taking away a corner three-point shot from LeBron. And that was pretty debatable, too. I'm not sure why it keeps happening, but the interpretation of LeBron slipping on the line has really hurt them this season. And the fact they took it off the scoreboard nearly 5 minutes later is pretty ridiculous, which LeBron and Durbin have talked about following the game.
It's a crazy thing. When they took that three away from you that you hit in the corner, you felt that cost collectively this team some momentum?
Oh, yeah, it was a good momentum, obviously. I've never seen that before like that. In that particular time, that was kind of weird, but yeah, it took a moment.
You guys actually see the video
like a screenshot or
Because he haven't been doing his job up to this point. That's all I wanted to say. I would love if we would.
Hey,
you want
to check this out? Me?
Yeah, me too.
I'm bringing them back here.